Iosef vir justus et nolet eum traducere, voluit occulte dimittere eam. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. On this glorious first-class feast of Saint Joseph, eustem virgini sponsi, spouse of the same Virgin Mary, I would like to reflect with you today on today's gospel passage from the first chapter of St. Matthew's gospel, which is very much misunderstood. First, the gospel says that Mary was betrothed to Joseph. How many people think that betrothed means engagement? How many people think that Mary and Joseph are engaged to be married, but not really married? I would guess about 95% of Catholic Christians believe this. And that would be false. Betrothed means that Mary and Joseph are married. They have professed their vows before God, but they have not consummated their marriage. They have not become one flesh. They do not know each other in the biblical sense. Hence, the passage says, before they lived together, which is a most beautiful phrase that no one follows in our evil modern secular world. That's a whole nother homily. So what Mary and Joseph have, we have a term for this in canon law, and it has been the tradition in canon law from the very beginning. They have a marriage that is ratum non consummatum. Ratum non consummatum, which means they have a ratified marriage, but not a consummated marriage. This is the type of marriage that they have. It is truly ratified before God. They have professed their vows, but they have not consummated their marriage. Okay, that's the first misunderstanding that we have to clear up. Mary and Joseph have a real marriage, ratum non consummatum. Okay, second. When Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, being a just and righteous man, decided to divorce her quietly. Now, I cannot tell you over the course of my almost 21 years of priesthood how many people are guilty of eisegesis in this scripture passage. You know what exegesis is when we're studying scripture, right? What we get out of the text, that's good. But eisegesis is where we try to read in something to the passage. And we read into the biblical passage our own bias. I'll show you. Because of our evil modern secular world, how many people think that Joseph thought that Mary had committed adultery? Please don't raise your hands. I don't want to know. But I'm guessing that the number is about 98% of Catholic Christians who believe that Joseph believed that the Blessed Virgin Mary had committed adultery. A lot of Christians think like this. Joseph says to himself, well, I know I'm definitely not the father. I can't believe that Mary could commit adultery like that, but I won't expose her to shame. I'll just divorce her quietly. Please don't show me your hands. How many people think like that or even thought like that at one time? First and foremost, I have to say that this is absolutely heretical. This is scandalous to suggest even for a moment, even for a teeny tiny itsy bitsy second, that the Blessed Virgin Mary, who is the most perfect creature that God ever created, who is immaculate, who is the pure and spotless virgin with no original sin or no actual sin, to even suggest that Saint Joseph would think that Mary could commit adultery, woe to the person who thinks like this. But I cannot tell you how many Catholic Christians think that Joseph thought that Mary had committed adultery. This erroneous line of thinking presumes that Mary and Joseph really don't know each other. That they never talk to each other. This is contrary. Saint Joseph knows that Mary is a special woman. He knows that she belongs entirely to God, both in her soul and in her body. Joseph knows this. And all the fathers of the church have consistently taught that Saint Joseph did not doubt, even for a second, Mary's faithfulness. He never doubted that. And further, if Joseph was truly a just and righteous man, he would have exposed her, because a just and righteous man was bound by law to expose a woman caught in adultery. Just and righteous Joseph would have been breaking the law by not turning Mary into Jewish authorities if he indeed thought that Mary had committed adultery. But Joseph never thought that for a moment, not even for a teeny tiny itsy bitsy bit. Never would he have thought that the most blessed Virgin Mary had committed adultery. So what is the authentic interpretation of this passage? All of the fathers of the church take a look at Origen, take a look at St. Jerome, take a look at St. Bernard of Clairvaux, and most importantly, take a look at my patron, St. Thomas Aquinas. All of the fathers of the church throughout the centuries have consistently taught something like this. God has been at work in Mary. Joseph must therefore step aside and leave Mary free so that God can continue to work in her and through her as he wills. Fearing himself an obstacle to the workings of God within Mary, he decides to step aside and let her live freely. St. Joseph knows the prophecy of Isaiah. The prophecy from Isaiah 7, you know it too. A virgin shall be with child and shall conceive a son and shall call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. St. Joseph knows that prophecy. He knows that nowhere in that prophecy is there any room for him. St. Joseph knows that the Virgin Mary belongs to God and to God alone. God alone has claim on her. Saint Joseph knows that the Holy Spirit is the spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And you can't have two spouses in the Judeo-Christian tradition. Saint Joseph knows that the Holy Spirit is her spouse. And so, in poverty and in humility, he lets her go. In Joseph's resolution, we see just how much he loves Mary. He's not thinking of himself, but only of her. I can't help but think over the course of my almost 21 years of priesthood of those men and women who have had to break off their engagements to be married. And my counsel is always something like this. My counsel is always, do you love each other enough to let each other go? It's not that you do not love each other anymore, but that you love each other so much that you will the good of the other person so much that you know that what is good for the other person is that they not marry me. Do you love each other enough to let each other go? That's Saint Joseph. With the greatest love imaginable, in absolute poverty and in humility, he decides to step aside in silence and let the Holy Spirit be the one and only spouse of this most beautiful woman, the Blessed Virgin Mary. This is the correct interpretation of today's gospel passage, which has been consistently taught by all of the fathers of the church. And such was Saint Joseph's intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not be afraid, Mary. Do not be afraid, Joseph, to take Mary, your wife, into your home." That's because St. Paul says that the call and the promise of God is irrevocable. It cannot be revoked. And the call of Joseph to be the spouse of the same Virgin Mary, God will not revoke. And so, in a beautiful, beautiful act of divine providence, now everything that belongs to Mary belongs to Joseph. God says to Joseph, "I am entrusting you as the guardian and the protector of the two of the most precious things of all, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of my son and my highest favored daughter, the Immaculate Virgin Mary." Joseph receives Jesus and Mary. No person has been entrusted with greater gifts from God. And so Joseph is told not to be afraid to enter more deeply into the mystery. He wants to step aside from the mystery. And God is calling him to go deeper in to the mystery. I cannot tell you how important today's sermon is for all of those who are well advanced in the spiritual life. Because there comes a time in our lives when we are like St. Peter. The closer we get to the mystery, we say, "Depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." I cannot tell you how many times a woman about to profess vows as a nun says, "I'm not worthy to be a bride of Christ." And so the devil tempts her to step aside and to not enter into the mystery. I can't tell you how many times that happens, almost without exception, to every man preparing to be ordained a priest. I think especially of Deacon Tay and of Deacon Brian, who, God willing, will be ordained priests on the solemnity of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus this June. And I can tell you right now, this is what's going on. And if it isn't right now, it was a couple months ago. They say, "I am not worthy to forgive sin in the name of Jesus. I am not worthy to take a piece of unleavened bread and some grape wine and turn it into the body and blood of Jesus. And so they will be tempted to step aside from that mystery and that intimacy. And the angel of the Lord has to come to them, has to come to these men and women and say, "Do not be afraid." This is exactly what Jesus told St. Peter when he said, "Depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." The first words out of Jesus' mouth, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." And even though we are not worthy, our Lord is inviting us to participate in the greatest mysteries on earth, the intimacy of his body and blood, soul and divinity, the intimacy of his most blessed mother. So do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Don't step aside from the intimacy. With absolute poverty, with profound humility, and the inspiration of Saint Joseph, do not be afraid. In silence, we enter in to that very mystery right now. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.